third installment in the Stories of Christmas. Because this morning I want to tell you the story about a young lady. A young lady whose story strikes really close to my heart because it strikes really close to home. A young lady who starts off in life, a normal life, simple country girl in a rural village, with all the kind of hopes that a young lady has. Hopes for the right man. Hopes for a family. Hopes that maybe she'll do a little better than those who went before her and be able to provide a little better for her family than those who came before her. All the kind of dreams and hopes that you had if you were a young woman once. And not dissimilar, really, from those dreams and hopes that young men have. Young lady becomes a young woman. And, of course, attracts the attention of an eligible bachelor. Just the right kind of man, the kind of man you take home to mama and dad. A preacher boy. A preacher boy. Well, that's a good thing, you know. In her day, certainly, and still a little bit in ours, you know, preachers have a certain amount of respect. It's an honorable profession. Typically filled by honorable men and some honorable women in our day. A good catch. And so she marries. And marriages are great topics for a day of joy because there's a lot of joy associated with marriage. There's all of the ceremony of a formal wedding and you know, in the right cultural settings, in this lady's cultural setting, days of celebration. Days of celebration. What a way to tie the knot, to kick off a new life, a new family. And of course, there's a honeymoon and everything, and then you settle down to domestic life. A country life in a small rural village. Think fly. Without lights of electricity. Right? And automobiles. But you get the idea. Small rural town and a preacher's wife. Starting out in a new home with new dreams. There was something a little different about this preacher's occupation than ours. And that is, sometimes he had to go to the headquarters, you know. A couple times a year, and then on some other times he would have to go away and be away for a few weeks at a time, and then he'd come back home. Just the nature of the job. They had a great life together. Good people. Godly people. She did her work in the community. She took care of home. He preached. Told the stories of God. In a rural village, very often a preacher, you know, has the opportunity to tutor young people. And of course, to help them learn to read was a great privilege, so they would be able to read the Word of God for their own homes. Those early days of marriage turn into a couple of years, and like most couples, this preacher and his wife began to think toward children. They began to work toward that goal with some purpose. 2 years became three. 3 years became four. Soon they're hitting the five-year mark and no children, no pregnancies. Everybody seems okay. Everybody seems healthy. But before long, this pattern of life, this trying to have children, this work in the community, this work in God's name, turns into 10. 10 years. No children. And you know, neighbors try to be nice. They're having kids. Seems like left and right. As a matter of fact, every once in a while you hear a story of someone down the road. Luckily, it's never in our own town, right? But somebody down the road who just up and had a kid and they weren't even married or anything like that, you know? Good preacher's wife. Keeps a stiff upper lip. Prays a lot. Works on keeping her attitude right. But something inside is dying. Every time she passes a group of women in the village, she's sure they're whispering things about her. She begins to catch just the whispers of this ugly, ugly word. Barren. Think about it, ladies. It's an ugly word, isn't it? I mean, we use the word to describe a wasteland where nothing grows. And to hear that word whispered in the context of talking about such an honorable lady. Barren. Still young. Her day and her time, you got married young. You got married real young, about 15. So, 25's not that old. But what happens when 10 years becomes 15. 30's beginning to be old to start a family. And you know how preachers' wives have plenty to do. They can stay occupied. They can stay busy. So much to do around the house when the husband is away, as he had to be from time to time. Then there's the compounding problem that this lady's religious beliefs tended to think when things didn't work right physically, when there was disease or dysfunction in the body, that it was a sign of punishment from God, punishment for some secret sin. And as 15 years turned into 20, she couldn't help but notice that there were times when it seemed like people would shun her, whisper things about what she might have done to deserve this kind of punishment. To grow into an old woman, just her husband. And now they didn't even bother to whisper, try to hide their discussion of her barrenness. But her husband knew different. Husbands know wives. I'm not saying that we ever understand them. We just know them. And he knew she had an impeccable character. He'd listen to her pray over and over again, even though now she had stopped letting him hear those prayers because she knew sometimes it upset him. She had stopped letting him hear the prayers where she poured her heart out to God and begged for a child. Thirty-five begins to look far too old to start a family. 20 years. No children. No pregnancies. How long does it take hope to die? When you want something really bad, and you pray for it every day, and you do everything within your power to make it happen and it doesn't, how long does it take hope to die? 10 years? 15? I can tell you it's less than 20. No more hope. Not for children, anyway. Somewhere she resigns herself to the fact that she will grow old and die a barren woman. Afraid they might remember her for a generation or two, or carve it on her tombstone, "Here lies the preacher's wife." She was a barren woman. How she wished they would speak of her love. You know, when you don't have children, you have a lot of extra love to go around. You can love other people's kids. You have a freedom of movement and of activity that lets you pour yourself into the lives of others. And there's some joy in that. There's really a lot of joy in that. Almost enough to take away the bitter edge of the barren word. Just not quite. Still left with just the tiniest taste. Hopelessness and the temptation to be bitter for being barren. But the preacher knew his wife too well. He knew that through prayer and activity and just a heart filled with love for God and for others, she was successfully fighting away the temptation to end up an old, bitter, barren woman. And in time, she began to earn a reputation among the village people as a good woman, loving woman, wise woman. The husband's job, as I've mentioned, made him have to go away to the headquarters of their religious order. One time he was away for a few weeks, and when he came home, he seemed ill. Came home with laryngitis, I think we would say. Couldn't talk. After he had been home and gotten rested up, because his time away seemed to always leave him tired, and he had been resting and was back to sort of his normal vigor, except he couldn't talk. He sat down with his wife and he wrote a little note kind of short. I think maybe it went something like this. I had a vision while I was away, and I just can't believe it. But in my vision, I believe God said we were going to have a baby. And because I didn't believe, he said he'd take my voice away. And well, no voice. Imagine the look on his face. Imagine the look on his face when Elizabeth said, "It's true. I've been looking for the right opportunity to tell you. But I'm going to have a baby." Elizabeth had to feel something. Imagine what it's like to have a baby. You know, I don't really have that imagination for me. But I do like being around pregnant women, big bellies and all. It's amazing to think that there grows a human being. There's a lot of hope associated with pregnancy. A lot of fear, too. But that's a whole different story. There's this promise of a new life. And the normal joy and hope associated with new life growing inside of you. But just imagine, ladies. Just imagine if, in addition to growing inside of you, was a baby, but inside of you was gestating a fetus that had been filled with the Holy Spirit from the moment of conception. I wonder what that would feel like. Anything different about that pregnancy? I sort of doubt it. You know, there's the appetite and the morning sickness and all those other weird, quirky things that we just won't talk about pregnancy. But in time, you know, you begin to have those flutters. Flutters are kind of neat. Beginnings of, oh, there really is something alive in there. Then one day, Elizabeth, pretty good ways along in her pregnancy, heard a voice. Familiar voice, one she hadn't heard in a while, and imagine what that was like. She heard a voice, and it was familiar, but it was like somebody had turned a blender on inside her belly. The baby started dancing a jig, bouncing and kicking. You know, we'd probably call it hiccups now. But there was something about, can you imagine being able to feel the joy of your unborn child? But I think that's what happened to Elizabeth that day. Is she felt the joy of her unborn child when she heard Mary's voice. And of course, the scripture records it this way in Luke chapter 1. Verses 39 through 45. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." Christmas. Advent. When we anticipate the coming of Christ and his birth, and our celebration of that great event is a time for joy. A time for joy. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are indeed thankful that we can gather together, that we can celebrate in all sorts of ways, and that we can even drag our celebration of the coming of Christ into weeks in anticipation. Oh, I pray. I pray that in this time of so much frenetic activity, so much coming and going, so much here and there and to and fro and in-laws and dinners, how many times can we have Christmases? I pray that somehow, in some way, through all of that, your Holy Spirit would remind us that deeply settled into our celebration must be the joy that the Lord of glory has come to his people. May our hearts within us leap as we hear the sound of your coming. Dismiss now, I pray, those who have come to your house this day with blessing. May your Holy Spirit lead and guide and direct us as we go. In the name of Jesus, we pray.